episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Man, what is this, Bill? What's going on?
That's right. I don't know, man. What are we doing right now?
I don't know. I figured I was going to hit the season six with the ground running. Welcome to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and welcome to the season six premiere. Bill, what's going on, bud?
Same old, man. You know, I think this is funny that we decided to do this. You and I hadn't really picked a date to come back other than we wanted to do the UFL primer. And we're calling this season six, right? I feel like this is kind of like the preseason for us, though. Like, we just kind of decided out of the blue just to do, like, hey, man, free agency's been out of control. Let's do something with free agency. And I was like, yeah, I agree, because it's been too much to talk about and then do the UFL primer in the same week. That would have been a three-hour show, so... I'm excited, man. I feel like we're back a week early, preseason, kicking it back off. And look at you, man. You've been crazy, like getting all creative, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, coming up with a new intro video, coming up with some new graphics here. Literally did it all myself. So, it's an evolving sort of thing. But I do want to welcome anybody that's watching live, Volley Polly in the chat already. If you're watching the show live, make sure you enter a comment wherever it is, be it Facebook. .com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, YouTube at tapouts and touchdowns, or on X at tapouts and TDs. Join the conversation, because we came back a week early for a reason, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of football. Before we get there, did a little tweak into the format. We normally end the show with my favorite segment, and instead we're going to start off the show with my favorite segment, and that's Homer's Corner. Because before we get into football talk, I do want to remind everyone, as far as my Homer's Corner goes, that March Madness starts tomorrow. That's right. The NCAA basketball tournament starts tomorrow. Bills, Florida Gators are in. My South Carolina Gamecocks are in. North Carolina somehow managed to get the last number one seed in the tournament. My favorite time of year, I've got a huge bracket pool right now. 44 entries in my bracket pool. A nice, fat, hefty reward. For the winner of this bracket. Bill, before I go to your Homer's Corner, do you feel like this is Christmas Eve when it comes to college basketball right now? Like I do. Like I love this is my second favorite time of year when it comes to sports.
I do normally do that. Except for this year, I kind of messed up and I allowed my wife and daughter to schedule a vacation, like a getaway weekend this weekend.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't even think about what weekend it was. And then all of a sudden, like, we're getting closer. And then I realized, oh, no, I scheduled a turn to college, like the best college basketball, maybe the best sports weekend all year long. 4 days of just absolute wall-to-wall college basketball. So much fun. And I probably won't see a whole heck of a lot of it.
Any of it.
Whoops.
It's the busiest time of year of all things for vasectomies, because there's nothing you can do. But sit and ice your manhood.
Brilliant.
And so every year, this time of year is notorious for vasectomies for that very reason. Bill, your Homer's Corner takes us back to football, and you want to talk about the Miami Dolphins salary cap redemption in this offseason.
Well, I just wanted to talk. I mean, I went into this offseason. Obviously, I'm always going to be kind of a guy that's pretty positive. I want to have a positive outlook. The Dolphins are the best they've been in 23 years, back-to-back playoff appearances. I know we don't have a playoff win. They keep talking about that. Listen, we needed to get out of the basement first or get out of mediocrity. And we finally seem to have done that as we're starting to get a little bit of consistency with how good the team really is. We went into this offseason just a mess with huge free agents, you know, up on the board. I think we are 53 million under or over the cap. I mean, just absolute disaster. We're talking, you know, great players that are going. I think we had, and we talked about it in the show, how many of the top of the list free agents we had that were unsigned. One of those being Christian Wilkins. One of those being Robert Hunt. Those guys all left. They're gone. They got signed for over $20 million. You know what that does mean? Compensatory picks next year. Looking forward to a few third rounders. Maybe two, maybe three. We'll see what happens. But somehow Miami has not only replaced their players. Now, granted, they've lost a little bit. I don't know if you watch Pro Football Focus or look at Pro Football Focus, but they talk about the win over a win against replacement, right? Yeah. So they've actually got a chart out there that tells you what teams have done well in free agency and whether or not they've improved their team or not improved their team. Miami's basically they've stood pat. Thank goodness. We've lost all these good players, but they've been able to sign players. They got a new corner, actually the best corner in free agency. I have no idea how they've been able to do it. And Ryan, believe it or not, sitting right now as we speak, the Dolphins are about $18 million under the salary cap, even with all the people that they've signed. And after June 1st, they're going to free up like another $18 million. So they'll have, if there are players out there that are still waiting, including their center that was the number two rated center in the NFL last year. He hasn't signed with anybody yet. And people are speculating that he's going to try to sign back with the Dolphins. Because right now he had a torn ACL late in the season. I think it was in the Tennessee game. They've gotten themselves out of cap hell, man. And they're actually looking, they've stood pat as it stands. Today, the rumor came out that they're looking to sign Odell Beckham. Yes, just absolute insanity.
Madden players rejoice, right?
Let's go. Let's go. I mean, it's cool. I cannot believe what our GM has been able to do. I really, really was. I thought this was going to be like the horror of the offseason. Like, you know, we had this great, we're in the playoffs, we go to Kansas City, we watch people lose their fingers and toes and lose a playoff game, and we're going to be bad next year because we just couldn't afford to play to pay the players. Not going to happen, pal. We're reloading. Let's go, Dolphins. This is awesome. I told you on the show, I cannot wait to see what our guy cooks up, Chris Greer, our GM. He's down there cooking, man. It's so cool.
That's fantastic. Real quick, your wife, Mrs. Bakerville, got in the chat.
Why did I have to say anything?
We're not going to sports bars this weekend because you're not going to be able to sit down.
Man.
Yeah, unfortunately, some bad news out of Detroit. They're looking for Cam Sutton, wanted for felony domestic abuse. I heard a story that he supposedly threw his girlfriend out of a third-story window. Oh. Not good things coming out of Cam Sutton. Austin Thompson in the chat. What's up? Austin just joined my bracket challenge, my tournament challenge for March Madness. So good stuff. Listen, we got a lot of free agency stuff to get to, and we've got an hour long show, but before we get to the NFL talk, let's go to the world of college football and the ever expanding college football playoff. Bill, people met within the last week to discuss expanding the college playoff again, despite this year being the first year they're going to 12 teams. Right now, this meeting that they had basically opens the door to move the playoff to 14 teams in 2026. The hangup is the Big Ten and the SEC want first round buys for their conference champions. In this agreement that is being thrown around right now, the Big Ten and the SEC would make more than $21 million per school, up from roughly $5.5 million each team in the Power Five leagues received during the four-team era. The schools in the ACC would receive more than $13 million annually. The Big 12 from the Big 12 as well as Notre Dame are expected to receive more than $12 million. There's a TV deal that's sort of kind of all but hanging on the line, somewhere around the lines of $1.3 billion is being thrown around in order to not only expand this playoff, but to expand it for the TV deal. Bill, we haven't even seen the 12-team playoff yet. Why are they already going towards 14-team playoff? I think 12 is too many. Why are they going to 14?
It's money, man. It's more money to be made, more games on television, larger contract for TV. That's all ever drives this stuff. I mean, that's the only reason we're going to the 12-team playoff. They realized how much money they could make. I'm not sure. Now, the one that I saw had I believe it was Big Ten and SEC getting teams locked in. Mm-hmm. Now, they tabled that because they were like, people were like, no, you can't do that. We can't have teams locked in. That's ridiculous. Is that still the 14-team proposal that we're seeing now? I mean, are they still talking about teams getting a lot? There was an insane amount of money going to the Big Ten and SEC in the original proposal. It was like $760 million to go to those two conferences, and the next highest conference was getting $300 million, which was just, I mean, crazy, like, discrepancy between. I don't see how you could do that. I understand that the SEC and the Big Ten being as large as they are now, get a little bit more money than some of the other conferences, and they probably have better competition in those conferences. I kind of get that. I don't love the discrepancy, but I think it should be equal. Just the teams that get into the playoff get money. That's the way I feel about it. But or at least the conferences, right? And you get it based on how many teams you got in. Does that make sense? Maybe not, because then I guess you could bribe. But I don't know. It seems a little weird to me to have discrepancies there. But 14, it's all about money, man. We're just trying to – then they're all just trying to make money.
Yeah, listen, it's
not sure hard to – I'm not sure that's bad for us.
I mean, it's not bad for a team like South Carolina, who, if they can sneak their way into the top 15 before the end of the season, all of a sudden now they're in the college football playoff just to get blown out by the third or by the, you know, fourth, fifth,
you don't,
team.
You don't know. We haven't seen this yet. So the college basketball tournament is so much fun because you have these teams that can compete with the larger teams and surprise them. I mean, we saw our first one seed get dropped a few years ago. And
in Virginia, they got blown out last night.
Right. In the playing actually, game. For the playing game. But yeah, you don't know. I don't think you know if a team can surprise another team because of the pressures, things like that. We've seen it already kind of in the college football playoff. I don't think anybody thought Alabama was going to be even close to Michigan, and they almost beat them.
I mean, I don't know. Like, for me, it's I don't want to say it's watering down the regular season, but the reason it was so hard to play for a national championship was because the regular season mattered so much. If you go back and look at like teams 8 through 14 in last season, a lot of them had 2 and 3 losses. So it kind of defeats the purpose. The 14 team playoff was at least argued that the SEC and the Big Ten wanted. Obviously, they wanted first-round buys, and they also wanted 2 or 3, like you said, automatic bids from their conference.
Cannot stand.
Well, here's the crazy thing about it, Bill. At some point, the other conferences are going to cease to exist. The Pac-12 is gone, and we're about
to talk. No, it's not. It's the Pac-2. It's the Pac-2.
I thought they signed an agreement to play in the ACC.
Oh, did that change? Because I thought they had signed an agreement to play with in the Mountain West, basically, but they were going to stand separate from the Mountain West.
I don't know. We should have been more prepared here.
Well, I didn't know we were going to talk about that. I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
So you're saying that Oregon State and Washington State are going to play in the ACC now?
So I'm looking at it right now. This is on AP News, the Atlantic
Live Coast Conference. Research.
This was September 1st of last year. The Atlantic Coast Conference voted Friday to add Stanford, Cal, and SMU next year, providing landing spot for 2 more schools from the disintegrating Pac-12, creating a fourth super conference in major college football. So yeah, I think we talked about this on the show that the Pac-12 is gone. The Pac-12 is completely disintegrated. And with what we're about to talk about, the ACC may not be around when it comes time for college football playoff expansion in 2026, because this news broke within the last day or so. Clemson has now joined the fight against the ACC alongside conference rival Florida State, and they have sued the Atlantic Coast Conference. This is an article from ESPN's Pete Thamel, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. In filing, this is a direct quote, in filing in the Court of Common Pleas in Pickens County, South Carolina, right down the road from us, Clemson calls into question both ACC's grants of rights and exit fees, calling withdrawal penalty unconscionable and unenforceable. Clemson asks in the suit for a declaration that the ACC would not own the rights to Clemson games, quote, after Clemson ceases to be a member of the ACC, end quote. Clemson also wants the ACC exit fee 3 times the ACC operating budget. An estimated $140 million ruled as, quote, an unenforceable penalty in violation of public policy, end quote. They're basically saying that, so similar to what Florida State said, that the ACC did not act in the best rights or in the best interest of the member schools, and that I don't want to say they were strong-armed into accepting the deal, but that the exit fee to remove themselves from the ACC is beyond incomprehensible. And so we don't know when this is going to go down. But Bill, this is now 2 schools that have sued the Atlantic Coast Conference. how long is it before the ACC loses in court and we see the ACC implode a la the Pac-12?
I mean, that's a loaded question, Ryan. That they want out. They want out. They We know this. We know Florida State's wanted out since they decided to take their ball and go home, and they've been whining ever since. And then Clemson feels like they've been – it's amazing to me. We go from – what did Clemson win the title in 2018? And we're only 5 years removed, and they've decided that the ACC doesn't meet their needs anymore. But they, you know, it's not a good enough conference for them to win the title again. BS. Come on. You just stink right now. Like, you weren't good this year. So, I mean, if Clemson runs the table or gets one loss, they're in the playoff again. I don't understand what they want out. They just want out. They want to join one of the power conferences. They want to rub elbows with the big boys. And that's where we're at. I think all of the conferences other than the Big Ten and the SEC are based, their days are numbered.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this off the air. I think there's going to come a time when, and we've said it many times on the show, NIL and the transfer portal without regulation is ruining college football. Bill, I saw you just saw the question from Volley Polly. We're going to get there because we're going to talk about the Chargers here in a minute. But at some point, the conferences, the big conferences, it'll be the big three at that point between the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC, are going to have to break away from the NCAA. They're going to have to create their own governing body that encompasses regulation of NIL, regulation of the transfer portal, because I don't know if you saw this as well. They've also put a stay on second transfer. There's a rule in place that if you transfer a second time, you can't play. You have to sit out a year. But there's a kid from Alabama. I can't think of his name. He's a big 6'7", 300-pound offensive lineman who decided when Nick Saban retired, decided to transfer back home to Iowa. Had put all the transfer stuff. And
has now
gone
back into the portal. I've seen that. Yeah.
He not only has he gone back in the portal, he's going back to Alabama. He spent spring break with some friends down in Alabama and decided to go back home. And he's going to be eligible to play right away at Alabama. So they're going to have to, with the new governing body, with the what will be eventually the Big Three, there will have to be some regulation in a governing body. And college football, as we know it, will no longer cease to exist. We talked about on the show I can't think of the school, with the unionization of basketball players at a school in Northeast, it opens the door for players at other schools and other sports to unionize and consider themselves employees. So I think the future of college athletics is sort of up in the air at this point. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the lawsuit from not only Clemson, but from Florida State. The NCAA has also fired back at Florida State regarding all this. So it'll be interesting to see. A lot of stuff happening in college football as we get underway with spring practices. We talk about this as sort of a preseason show. We're in like the preseason of college football,
yeah.
Which means that we are that much closer, not only to college football season in the fall, but NCAA or college football, EA Sports college football that will come out in July. We're about 2 months away from getting the actual trailer.
I'm worried.
What are you worried about? Well,
I swore off Madden again because this Madden 24 was the worst Madden I've played in. I can't remember when.
And I don't know why I subject myself to
it. I won't play it. Yeah, it's terrible. I'm worried. We'll see. But I mean, I'm more excited about the actual college football season. I'm very excited about the Florida Gators this season. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, there's no reason to get excited. You go 6-6. Welcome. Join the club.
Number one quarterback recruit in all the land.
Yeah, it's okay. Lenore Sell is about to cook. All right, let's get into NFL talk. NFL free agency 2024. This is what brought us back a week early to the show. We were originally going to talk Russell Wilson and the Steelers. We're gonna table that for a second.
Yeah, that got trumped.
We're gonna go to a Los Angeles Chargers talk because there's some big moves that happened out in LA.
The
city that didn't want the team, from San Diego is now having is going to look like a completely different offense this year. as the Chargers cut Mike Williams as a salary cap casualty. Mike Williams is set, I believe, to sign with the New York Jets, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Keenan Allen, number one all-world wide receiver, traded to the Chicago Bears.
And doesn't have a quarterback.
First-round pick? Nope, not for a first-round pick. For a second, no. He got traded for a fourth-round pick, Bill. Keenan Allen, a perennial top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, was traded for a fourth-round pick to the Chicago Bears. Austin Eckler, also not retained. He's out in Washington now. So your top, probably maybe Gerald Everett, you can argue, but your top three targets in that passing offense, and Mike Williams.
Everett's gone too.
Keenan Allen. Everett's gone too. You're right. Yeah. And Austin Eckler are all gone, leaving the vastly overpaid, in many people's opinions, Justin Herbert to take over an offense with nobody he knows.
He's got Palmer. I don't even know what Palmer's first name is, but he's still there.
I think it's Josh Palmer. But that brings Josh up Palmer, the question. That's it. The Volley Polly hat. I want to know, he said we hadn't gotten there yet, but I want to know fact or crap for Banker Bill.
No.
And this is a direct shot at me because of what I predicted last season.
Yes.
For the Hayden Hurst and the Carolina Panthers. Hayden Hurst has 1,000 yards receiving this season with Herbert as quarterback.
No. Absolutely not. No.
He doesn't. It might, honestly, that prediction will go down as my worst prediction of all time.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
100%. 100%. I've made some really bad predictions, Bill. That tops the list. There are rumors that there's a shot because with the way that the NFL draft is unfolding, you got Chicago just we're going to get again to Justin Fields getting traded away. Chicago more than likely lined up to take Caleb Williams, even though Caleb Williams has come out and said that he doesn't want to play for Chicago. We're looking at Jaden Daniels, the quarterback from LSU, more than likely going in the second overall pick. And more than likely Drake May going third. There are now rumors that maybe a team like Minnesota will trade up to get that fourth pick to take yet another quarterback, leaving Marvin Harrison Jr., who I should mention did not partake in drills at his Ohio State Pro Day today. Leaving the potential for him to get drafted by the LA Chargers to replace Allen and Mike Williams. And there's also potential for the Chargers to go and draft Jim Harbaugh's old running back and Blake Corum. So we get an all new look offense in LA. What are the Chargers doing, Bill? Do they have this much faith in Justin Herbert? They said, screw everybody else. We gave Justin Herbert all this money. We're going to go out and prove that Justin Herbert can play with anybody. In the backfield and in his receiver room with him.
I like that. I like that. I like you making excuses for the Chargers general management staff. That's good stuff. Yes, they're imploding. That's what's happening. They're imploding. They couldn't get it done. They believe Justin Herbert is still the guy, and they're taking all his weapons away and reloading with different weapons, I guess. Well, I mean, we'll find out. I like the pick, the Marvin Harrison Jr. Malik Nabers also. A lot of people like him a lot, too. So people are saying that he might be the pick over Marvin Harrison Jr., which is crazy because that's what happens when you get crazy about the draft and everybody starts seeing the measurables and things like that. And then you got a guy that doesn't do measurables. So they're saying he's really good, too. So maybe he'll be the pick. But, yeah, I think you got to get a weapon out there. And wide receiver is usually the stuff you get in the top 10. You're not going to see a running back go in the top 10.
I mean – Jahmyr Gibbs did get drafted just outside the top 10. He worked out well for the Lions last year.
Did he run for 1,000 yards?
I believe he and David Montgomery both had 1,000 scrimmage yards.
But he didn't run for 1,000 yards.
1,000 scrimmage yards. I'm about to drop F-bombs on this show like I almost dropped on the Cat Cave this week. I got worked up about Jadeveon Clowney potentially getting signed with the Carolina Panthers. And things got heated with myself and Michael Davis, and they got more heated after the show went off the air, but man, I about let some expletives fly and I about just did the same thing. Yeah. I don't know what the Chargers are doing. I guess they're trying to prove a point that Justin Herbert is the guy. There's a lot of talent from skill position players from the offensive side in this draft. There's, let's say he gets Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's say they also somehow find a way, because Blake Corum, I'm sure they can get later in the draft, but what if they find a way to trade back into the first round and get that worthy kid from Texas who broke the speed record? Right. So
part two.
Yeah, either way, or he could be Tyreek Hill part two. You don't know. But nevertheless, it's going to be interesting to see what the Chargers look like. It seems like while the Chiefs continue to make moves in that division, the Broncos are going to be a new look off, a new look team in general. The Raiders are going to look like a whole new team next year. Like, I guess the Chargers thought, you know, of all the times, like, the Chiefs are going to be this good for a while, this is a good time to reset. And I think that's what the Chargers were thinking. Now, again, I think they could have gotten more for Keenan Allen, but to each their own. That's why he's the GM, and I'm just a podcast host that gets about 7 or 8 views a week. Again, remember, if you join the podcast,
nine a week. Yeah.
If you join the podcast live with us, make sure you leave a comment wherever it is you're listening. We've got 2 viewers on X tonight. That's exciting. Leave a comment with us and join the conversation, as we've got a lot of NFL free agency talk to get to. And let's move on here from the Chargers. Let's go on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they made some splashes in this offseason as they go and sign Russell Wilson to a 1-year deal. Now, he's getting paid a lot of money from the Broncos, but he took league minimum pay to supplement from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But then they turn around because let's say, before we get there, Kenny Pickett did not want to stay in Pittsburgh after they signed Russell Wilson. And so he asked to leave, and they traded him to Philadelphia. So now he didn't want to back up Russell Wilson, which he might have had a chance to overtake at some point. So instead, he gets to go back up Jalen Hurts. He will be the backup until his contract runs out. And then the Steelers decide to make a curious move and trade for the Chicago Bears for Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick that can turn into a 4th-round pick depending on playing time. Now, the rumors and innuendo there is that Justin Fields was sort of asked by the Bears where he wanted to go. I think they could have gotten more for him, but Justin Fields asked to go to the Steelers, and so the Steelers did right by him. Volley Polly wants to throw out a Kenny crybaby for Kenny Pickett say that it was all love about the Hayden Hurst pick. Bill, you said you like this. The Steelers are going to look a lot different next year. I mean, they traded away Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers as well for a defensive back that the Panthers were going to cut anyway. What do you expect from the Steelers now that they got a new quarterback room and potentially some new wide receivers coming in to go along with George Pickens?
Well, they didn't have a bad season last year, right? And they really didn't have very good quarterback play. Pickett was pretty bad. And when Trubisky was in, he was really bad. So they somehow were able to make the playoffs, played Buffalo really tough in the playoff game, and really just didn't have any quarterback play. I mean, it was Mason Rudolph at the end of the season. I mean, who? Yeah, exactly. You remember him because he was attacked with a helmet.
That was Miles Garrett, right?
Miles Garrett yeah. Helmet attack. Yeah, that was Mason Rudolph.
And Rudolph played better than either the other two quarterbacks.
Exactly, right? But yeah. So Kenny Pickett shipped down the river. I find that a little odd, but I'm good with that. He only had like a 78 passer rating in his second year. That's pretty bad. They get Russell Wilson, who I'm a fan of, living in Seattle for a lot of years, near Seattle for a lot of years. He had a pretty good season last year. He threw for a lot of touchdowns, didn't throw for a lot of interceptions. Not a ton of yards, but had like a 98 passer rating, which is really good. That's pretty good in the NFL. And then Justin Fields, who was terrible at the beginning of the season last year, and we're all like, he's garbage. They would move on from him. And then the second half, he played pretty well. You know, he ended with an 86 passer rating, Ryan?
That's wild.
It's not bad.
He had a good last few weeks of the year, too.
He came off that injury. He had a good last few weeks. I felt like, oh, the Bears realize he's turned the corner. We're loading up with Keenan Allen. We're getting him some weapons. It's not just DJ Moore up there anymore. And we got to find a running back for this guy, and he'll be pretty good. And then they trade him for nothing. Bag of peanuts. I don't get it. I don't get that. I don't know what the Bears are doing. I know they're picking Caleb Williams. We all know that at this point.
And Caleb Williams don't want to go there.
Well, he's refuted that, by the way. He did refute. Yeah, I looked it up. He did say no.
He doesn't want to look like John Elway when Elway refused to play.
I still think Jaden Daniels is the pick. That should be the number one overall pick. I think he's a better quarterback. I think he's going to have a better career in the NFL. I was right about C.J. Stroud. Not necessarily right every year, but yeah. Jaden Daniels should be the pick. But point is, what's Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's going to win more games next year, man. They're going to the playoffs again. Pro Football Focus has them winning like a game and a half or two more than last year with all the improvements they made.
And the Steelers, the crazy thing is with Tomlin, like, Tomlin's never had a losing season. We talked about it. We thought that it could happen last year. and then they had a strong finish and they didn't do it again.
Right.
I'm disappointed as how, let me say this. I'm disappointed for as how bad as Kenny Pickett was. I had high hopes for Kenny Pickett. I thought Kenny Pickett was going to come in and seamlessly replace Ben Roethlisberger.
I did
and
not.
He absolutely did the opposite.
Yeah.
He was the second coming of Mitch Trubisky. He was not better than Mason Rudolph. So yeah, genuinely disappointed in the way that it worked out for Kenny Pickett, because I like the kid coming out of Pittsburgh in college. I think he should have won the Heisman the year that he had his final year in Pittsburgh. So I really like Kenny Pickett. That being said, the Steelers are going to be better. I don't know what their running game is going to look like. They didn't lose anybody like Najee Harris, but like that's been running back by committee there for a while. Najee Harris was supposed to be that next guy, and there's weeks where you have faith in him and there's weeks where you don't. So, and again, now you've got George Pickens, but now you got to go out and replace Deontay Johnson, who quietly had 700 yards and 5 touchdowns last year. So, again, a lot of talent in the NFL draft this year. So interesting to see what Pittsburgh does going forward. Now it's to the fun part of free agency, and that's the running back talk. There's a lot of running backs that are in new places. It's called SpotTrack or SpoTrack. I'm guessing it's SpotTrack. It's a website that literally has every single free agent, is specifically running backs, and where they were last year, where they went, and how much money they made. And we talked last year about the fact that nobody valued running backs. And this year, owners and general managers completely backtracked on that. There's a couple people that we talked about off the air about who we wanted to talk about. Specifically, let's talk about a couple specifically. We want to talk about Saquon Barkley signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe there was talks about maybe investigating the Eagles for tampering. But Saquon Barkley signed a 3-year, $37 million deal, averaged $12 million a year, $26 million guaranteed. You said in the all last season and going into the offseason that you thought Saquon Barkley ought to find a way to stay with the New York Giants. The Giants had to go and replace him with Devin Singletary. How do you like the move for Saquon Barkley going out to Philly?
I hate it because I like the Giants. my dad's a Giants fan. My uncle's a Giants fan. Timmy Costello from he's been on the show before. He's a Giants fan. He came on with the Saquon Barkley jersey. He's ready to burn it. I mean, he really is.
I'll take it. I'll collect jerseys. Give it to me before you burn it. Don't wait.
Exactly. Yeah. He's miserable. Everybody's miserable. Giants fans are miserable. They wanted Saquon. It was their guy. And he signed with a huge rival. And that hurts. I mean, that hurts. You have anybody that for us, it would be, you know, at this point going to Buffalo. That stings. And you lose him, then you lose him to a rival. That's a bad deal. Now you got to see him twice a year.
You mean Jordan Poyer coming from Buffalo?
I love that one. That one I love. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, listen, I think Tiki Barber was, to take a phrase from Michael Davis, was out of pocket on his take. He was a traitor in this, that, and the other. It's just because Tiki was offered the money that Saquon wasn't offered to stay in New York. If Saquon, instead of paying Daniel Jones, had the Giants paid Saquon,
that ship has sailed, man.
Saquon would still be in New York.
I know. Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're right. They could have given them money if they didn't pay Daniel. And they really didn't pay Daniel Jones like a top flight quarterback, but they paid him way too much money. When you have him playing as bad as he did, you have Tyrod that came in last year, played better than Daniel Jones. And then you had Tommy Cutlets playing almost as good as all of them.
Gabagool.
Exactly. Yeah. At least as good as Daniel Jones. And then you're paying Daniel Jones $40 million. Like, that hurts. And now you got to watch your you know, anointed son at running back go to your absolutely hated rival. I feel bad for – I do like that they signed Devin Singletary, though. Singletary's he's a smaller back. He doesn't really handle the load that Saquon does, but he did average, I think, right around 5 yards a carry this year for Houston. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he usurped Damian Pierce in Houston, who was supposed to be the next thing in Houston, and was one of the top three running backs in the last seven weeks of the season. So you've got that going for Devin Singletary. Volley Polly wants to get my thoughts on DeAndre Swift to the Bears. Listen, it's almost like the Bears and the Lions swapped running backs, right? Like 2 years ago, you had Swift in Detroit and David Montgomery in Chicago, and they sort of both kind of fizzled out. Montgomery just because it couldn't seem like he could get the ball really going in Chicago, and with DeAndre Swift, he couldn't stay healthy. And Detroit finally has a year where he stays mostly healthy and has a phenomenal year in Philadelphia. But now we see why Philadelphia didn't re-sign Swift, because they went out and got Saquon Barkley, right? So, you know, Chicago is trying to build an offense, around, with the exception of DJ Moore, with veteran players, right? DeAndre Swift's been in the league 5-6 years now, but he's only been healthy for one of them. You got Keenan Allen, who's had his own injury issues in his own right. But when he's been healthy, he's been lights out. So, you know, they're trying to build. They're doing the opposite of what the Carolina Panthers did last year. They're giving him legitimate weapons, whoever he is at quarterback. They're giving whoever they're about to draft some actual weapons to go out and potentially put together some semblance of an offense in Chicago. Whereas the Panthers were like, let's give Bryce Young the ball and let him play point guard. So, yeah, listen, I'm not upset about it. Like, I was upset that Swift never panned out in Detroit, but we could have been the team. Let me see what DeAndre Swift got. He got 3 years, $24 million, 15.3 guaranteed, average 8 years, 8 million a year. I don't think he was ever going to get that in Detroit. And not to mention, he couldn't stay healthy. So, more power to Chicago for getting Swift, more power to Swift for getting a contract. If he can stay healthy in Chicago, you know, there's a potential there to have at least a formidable offense when you've got a division, with the exception of the Vikings, that are built with really strong defenses. I mean, both Detroit and Green Bay have really, really good defenses, especially with Detroit signing DJ Reader. Like, they're going to get a phenomenal run defense.
Go ahead. I got to ask you, Ryan. Well, let's stay on the Bears for a second. If you watch the Bears moves this offseason, we like the Keenan Allen move, of course, right? He's been a stud, and he doesn't really get hurt that often. He's pretty healthy and had a great season last year. I mean, he had a great season. He got last hurt 2 years ago.
The year prior, yeah. He had hamstring injuries. He's had ACLs in the past.
And he's older. But, I mean, he's still a stud, right? So we like that. And we thought they were helping Justin Fields out, and they've got the number one overall pick, and trade that away for, you know, a ton of picks, and you can put a lot of guys around him. And then they do something weird, and they trade Justin Fields away for a sixth rounder, which you felt like he was your starting quarterback, right? Now, is your starting quarterback a sixth rounder? Not if he's not Tom Brady, right? You're not going to get a sixth round starting quarterback. You know, you've got two guys that are that low in the NFL that we can remember, Brock Purdy and Tom Brady, right? So if you're a Bears fan, do you even feel good about what's happening, right? You started to get a little bit excited. Keenan Allen got you a little excited. But now that they've dropped Fields for a sixth, Caleb Williams, for all of the scouts loving this guy, he is totally unproven. He hasn't won a big game in college. He's ran from everything he could put that possibly makes him look bad. Oklahoma, he started to feel like the team was going downhill. He ran to UCLA, well, USC with his coach.
His head coach.
But then he was terrible there. They were always ranked higher in preseason than they ended the season. He was terrible. He's not good. But they love him. I think he's fantastic.
That's typical Southern Cal Notre Dame bias right there. Listen, Chicago Bears fans thought they were going to win the Super Bowl last year. They think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Chicago fans think that they will win the Super Bowl next year.
I just don't feel good about that team at all. I really don't. If I'm a Bears fan, I feel bad.
If I'm a Bears fan, I'm excited because the Bears are trying to put together a team. But the old adage goes that the teams that win free agency don't necessarily ever win anything else.
Correct.
So they're doing what they can to get the fans excited about the team because they knew they were going to be trading away Justin Fields potentially for a quarterback that doesn't want to be there. So, you know, if I'm a Chicago fan, yeah, I'm excited that Swift is there. I'm excited that Keenan Allen is there to go alongside DJ Moore. And I'm excited potentially whoever the next quarterback is going to be. I think Justin Fields probably would have been a lot better with the guys they brought in. But again, I mentioned it a second ago, the NFC North is stacked with two really good defenses in the Packers and the Lions. Now the Lions struggled against the pass last year. And with the news coming out about Cam Sutton and losing Gardner Johnson back to Philadelphia, they're going to have to go and try to get some defensive backs in the draft But they signed DJ Reader, who ranked 10th against the run against among defensive linemen last year, whereas Aleem McNeil, the other defensive tackle, ranked 8th. So they're going to have a really stout defensive line to stop a guy like DeAndre Swift from running all over them next year, stop a guy like Josh Jacobs, who is now in Green Bay. Green Bay lets go of Aaron Jones because they signed Josh Jacobs to another monster contract, 4 years, $48 million with only 12.5 guaranteed. But with Aaron Jones gone, Aaron Jones, I actually predicted it as soon as they released him. I said, you know, Aaron Jones could wind up in Minnesota. And within 2 hours, he was a Viking. So again, it's fun to speculate for Chicago, but it's going to be more of the same because that division is not getting any easier. The other running back we wanted to talk about has to do with Derrick Henry. No longer in Tennessee. Tennessee signs Tony Pollard from the Dallas Cowboys. I'm excited because that means they re-signed Rico Dowdle, did the Dallas Cowboys, former Gamecock, has an opportunity to be the starting running back in Dallas this year. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I didn't know he was a Gamecock, or he didn't really know who he was.
Or anyway. Didn't care, maybe.
Yeah, that, either way. Like,
yeah.
But Derrick Henry, now with the Baltimore Ravens, Bill, there's a lot of people extremely excited about this move, and I am not one of them. What are your thoughts on Derrick Henry in Baltimore?
Come on, man. How can you be excited about it? The only good news is Derrick Henry is going to need a wheelchair here shortly. So, but he's terrifying. And you predicted another one of your terrible wrong again, Ryan, predictions that this was going to be his down year. It was not. He's still a monster. Remember, we're talking about your predictions. There's just another one that's bad.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for a good one. But anyway, so this one was bad too. And now he goes to what is probably the best team in the AFC. I mean, obviously the Chiefs beat them, but we all thought that if Lamar played well in the playoffs, which he did not again, that they would be the best team and they would probably win the Super Bowl. We saw what they did in San Francisco, and San Francisco obviously made the Super Bowl. So it scares me. Now they don't have to rely as much on Lamar. They haven't had a running game there. They were relying on a rookie running back this year, and it didn't go well. Obviously, he got hurt in the playoffs, but they're going to be better. That's unfortunately, that's bad.
Derrick Henry signs a 2-year, $16 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens.
It's not even a big deal. I mean, you saw guys like Jacobs get more, and I mean, that's not even a huge deal. He's going there to win a Super Bowl.
Well, the problem in Baltimore was that the running backs couldn't stay healthy. I mean, you had Gus Edwards for there for a while. He's now with the Chargers with Austin Eckler gone. J.K. Dobbins remains unsigned. And those were their main running backs going into the season. So, right. They've gone to a couple different guys due to injury. Derrick Henry, you could argue he didn't have a down year last year, but he did. I could pull up his stats, but you could see when he was getting hit behind the line of scrimmage, he was going down. If he got three yards deep, he was breaking away. But the problem is that they're going to try to run zone reads with him in Baltimore. And that's not the type of running back he is. He is a I formation, give him the ball with some momentum and let him take it past the line of scrimmage, 3-4 yards deep and just run over people. That's not the kind of offense that Baltimore runs.
Brian.
Hold on. It's like what I said about Miles Sanders in Carolina. Sure, he's a great running back coming off a career year, but he didn't fit the system. And that's why Miles Sanders had like 400 yards rushing this year, because he didn't fit the system. Derrick Henry's a phenomenal running back. He's probably a future Hall of Famer. He's a perennial Pro Bowler, but he doesn't fit this system. And people that are excited about Derrick Henry in Baltimore are simply trying to be excited about the fact that the legs of Lamar Jackson might get a little saving, but they got saved in the playoff game because they wouldn't let him run the ball, and he got demolished in the playoff game. He played terribly.
He's not a passer. Yeah.
No, exactly. This isn't a college offense, and they're going to try to make it that way. And I don't know. You had something you were going to ask me.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, he really didn't have a down year last year. He had his fourth best year of his career. So, I mean,
fourth best.
Well, he's been in the league like 10 years. So it was one of his better years. So he had a good year. He's still a good running back. Tennessee was not a good team. They also had like the worst offensive line in football. So, this was not a good team. And he still averaged 4.2 yards per carry, had a bunch of touchdowns, like 12 touchdowns, 1,160 yards. He had a good year. But he's got, there's no tread on the tires, right? But it's Derrick Henry. He's a monster. So we'll see. I will say, and I love Pro Football Focus because they do things that, you know, the grades and all that stuff. Both of their ratings on offense and defense, where they talk about wins against replacement for, you know, the additions and subtractions at free agency, both of the Ravens ratings show them losing more games than they won last year.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Patrick Queen.
I'd like to see how many games they're playing safety, at home. Yeah. Like, I know everybody normally gets like half and half games at home, but we talked about it a lot last year. Baltimore and Philadelphia got a lot of home cooking in the regular season, and I wonder if that works out the same way next year.
Yeah.
We got one more story to get to out of the NFL before we wrap things up, and that's the retirement of Aaron Donald. 10 years in the NFL. A lot of stats to talk about when it comes to Aaron Donald. 154 games played. He started out 150 of them. 111 sacks. Three-time defensive player of the year. Defensive rookie of the year in 2014. Eight times. First team All-Pro. He made the Pro Bowl in all 10 years he was in the NFL. The only other person to do the exact same thing was former Detroit Lion great Barry Sanders. In the league exactly 10 years, made the Pro Bowl every single year. So Aaron Donald in really good company there. Bill, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, I sent this message to you that Aaron Donald retired. You said, wow. Like, what were your initial thoughts when you heard about this? And you know, what are your thoughts on Aaron Donald in general?
I think that in general, I was just sad. I saw an article that said that all of the quarterbacks in the NFL rejoiced when they heard this, you know, anybody that's going to be facing Aaron Donald this year. But when you have a player that's that great, we're talking Barry Sanders great. Like, those are the only two guys, I think, you know, that went to the Pro Bowl in all of their 10 years, right? They both played 10 years. They went to the Pro Bowl every single year. It's the only two guys in the NFL history that did that, right? So we're talking, you know, generationally great, like, you know, the best player you'll ever see in your lifetime. So when he retired, I got a little bummed. I know he's not on my team. I would obviously have preferred that, but just losing a player that's that fantastic that you don't get to watch play anymore and be that dominant, where when he does make an amazing play, you're just like, wow, like, man, this guy, you know, that's just so phenomenal. I think that's kind of how I felt, unfortunately. But, you know, not him not being on my team, I'm glad that, you know, Tua will feel better and sleep better at night now, knowing that Aaron Donald's not looking for him on any football fields.
The entire NFC West, including the Baltimore.
Oh, for sure.
Including the Los Angeles Rams, like offensive line in practice, all are breathing sighs of relief.
You know what they did? The undefeated Dolphins cheers with champagne every year when the last undefeated team loses. That's what all the quarterbacks in the NFC West did this year. That's exactly what happened. They're like, yes, we don't have to deal with
quarterbacks, the running backs.
Yeah, like, we don't have to deal with this man anymore.
They were like, thank
good for
God.
Him though. Good for him. I mean, epic career. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer. You would figure unanimous, right? And he's probably getting out of the NFL before his body breaks down. So he won't, you know, he can enjoy his retirement. So that's fantastic. Aaron Donald, man, we're definitely going to miss the guy.
Yeah. A phenomenal career. He had a phenomenal send off on social media where he thanked everybody and had some really, really good graphics and stuff up. I think he's probably top three to top five defensive linemen all time. And we're talking about Reggie White. We're talking about Warren Sapp.
Bruce Smith is up there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's one of those, like there was a meme that went out last year when Tom Brady officially retired and wasn't coming back. And it showed the quarterbacks that I sort of grew up with, in a sense of like from the end of high school into college, as I grew into a man, the guys that you know, our quote unquote childhood was gone, and the Peyton Manning, both the Manning brothers, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, that whole slew of guys are gone. And slowly but surely, we're going to have the changing of the guard on positions like this as well. Aaron Donald gone. You're going to probably see Myles Garrett in the next few years. Potentially, if he ever slows down, he may call it quits. We saw the departure of J.J. Watt a couple of years ago. You know, you're going to see the Bosa brothers as they get older. It's again, phenomenal career, one of the best to do it, first ballot Hall of Famer. Aaron Donald retires after exactly 10 years in the NFL. Like you said, a lot of people like to kind of harp on guys that call it quits early. Guys like Barry Sanders, Aaron Donald, guys like Calvin Johnson, who wanted to be able to walk afterwards, right? Like Aaron Donald has mulled over retirement.
I want to be able to walk after I'm done playing. That's like, a great idea. That's a good idea.
And so kudos to him for acknowledging when it was time to walk away, despite having something left in the tank. Fingers crossed that we don't have a Brett Favre or Tom Brady situation where he decides to come back and all this will have been for naught.
You know, the reality is he's not out of his impactful playing time. It's, you know, some players play until they're not worth it. They're not worth anything anymore. They're just, camp bodies almost, right? Where they're still getting the starts, but Jason Taylor did that. Jason Taylor was, one of my favorite players growing up, Hall of Famer, had, huge sack years. And by the end of his career, he's getting like 6, 7, and then he goes to the Jets for a season and does nothing. And then he comes back to the Dolphins, has a decent year. But it was just like, dude, you're done. Like, it's not there.
Yeah.
Anymore. Yeah. But I can't tell, though. Like I said, I got sad when he retired. So I think I prefer the player that plays it out, that just keeps going until there's nothing left. Then the injuries start happening. Yeah, I think I like that because they're still on the field. They're still your heroes, right? You remember the greatness and you just – when Tiger Woods won the 2019 Masters, like that, everybody cried, right? Because it was like the great one did it one last time. You just want to be there for that moment, and that's what you're always hoping for if the guys play it out, right? That's what I think I'd rather see.
I understand you saying that, but then you see, like, my favorite quarterback of all time is Peyton Manning. And watching his final year in Denver where he couldn't get the ball where he wanted to get to, and they won a Super Bowl, but he still preferred it, though. He had nothing to do with it. It was Von Miller's Super Bowl ring.
Right, but I think I still prefer that. I think that's more fun to have the player on the field than to have him doing Monday Night Football with his brother. Like, I'd rather still see Peyton Manning throwing the football.
I want
to
see.
Maybe that's me hanging on to my youth because I watched Peyton Manning play in college. So
let's call this our overtime segment where we've got a little bit of time to kill and we can talk about just kind of shoot off the cuff here. I want to see Peyton Manning breaking down plays like he does on Monday Night Football, but like I want to see him do it like Tony Romo does and like Greg Olsen does. Like I want to see more of Peyton Manning just breaking down football because we had this conversation a few weeks ago that he was one of the best defensive readers in the NFL in NFL history. Like if nobody
could
pick up a defense like he could.
Well, Tom Brady could.
Well, yeah, you could say that. But you also mentioned like a guy like Romo. He knows the plays that are coming beforehand. Do you think Tony Romo would make a good defensive coordinator?
I said that. We were talking about this the other day. I feel like Tony Romo, when he's predicting plays, now obviously there's nuances to that, and I don't think that that's really necessarily true, but when he continues to pick the play and goes, this is probably what the offense is going to do right here, and then they do it, you're thinking if he was the defensive coordinator, he would just be calling plays to stop that play that he was predicting. That's what I would think. But I think my dad was part of that conversation, and he basically said, no, they would know that he knew that they knew that he knew. And it was just like, that wouldn't happen. It would be completely broken. So yeah, there's many nuances to football. I don't think that would actually be the case, but you would think as you watch him predict plays that he would be good at something like being a defensive coordinator and predicting the plays that the offense is going to run.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. Bill, is there anything else that's been going on in the world of football, world of sports? I know next week, We got some research to do over the next week.
I got a question for you.
UFL. Yeah, let's go.
I got a question for you. So
it's the overtime segment. We're always running late. This is perfect. Yeah.
This is the overtime segment. We got some time. So I was reading about this guy today, and I want to know, because this guy is kind of near and dear to my heart for no reason other than the fact that I was hoping he would be better than he ever was. Where does Ryan Tannehill land this season? He's still a free agent, and there is no – obviously not very sought after, as there's nobody that's really trying to find the services of Ryan Tannehill, but he's not awful. So who goes after Ryan? I have a prediction, but I don't know. So just give me yours. What would you, off the top of your head, you like to do that to me where you're like, hey, Bill, by the way, how about this?
Yeah.
Like,
you never do this to me. Ryan, I like it.
How do you feel about Ryan Tannehill?
Miami?
Oh, God, no.
I don't know who your backup is down there.
We really don't have one. Mike White was the backup last year. Skylar Thompson would probably be the backup.
I think the fact that teams are going to draft quarterbacks, you don't know who needs a backup right now, right? And nobody wants to sign Tannehill as a potential starter because that's not what he is anymore. Again, I don't know who
call
the
backup him a bridge in, player. Call him a bridge.
Yeah,
player.
There you go.
Yeah.
I could see him with the Jets behind Aaron Rodgers
as a serviceable backup. You're signing him as a backup then.
Yeah, I'm not signing him as a potential starter. He's a backup.
I'm saying if he's a bridge player, he has the potential to start this year.
I don't think there's
a team. I've got mine. You want mine?
Yeah, let's see. I don't think there's a team that needs him as a bridge player. He's going to get signed as a backup somewhere. Everybody's got their people, except for maybe like, no, because Minnesota's going to go draft a quarterback. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He's going to be a backup somewhere. Yeah, let's hear it.
Denver Broncos.
Really?
They don't have anybody.
Where are they drafting? Maybe they draft up.
I think 12th. Like maybe they might get Michael Penix or Bo Nix if they draft a quarterback in the first round.
I think they go after Bo Nix, and that's going to be the biggest mistake. It's going to be worse.
It's Drew Lock all over again.
Yeah, we've talked about this off the air too. Bo Nix. Well, let's get in the conversation. It's overtime. Of all the quarterbacks that are talking about getting highly drafted, is there a guy that, you know, we've talked about the fact that we don't have high hopes for Caleb Williams and we think Jaden Daniels is the guy. We've also talked off the air that Drake May is the second coming of Mitchell Trubisky. Of some of these like second to third tier guys, who do you think's got a chance to step up and surprise some people? Who do you think's gonna sort of like not be as good as everybody? Like everybody's got high hopes for Bo Nix. I don't. Michael Penix Jr. has gotten mixed reviews. Like, is there anybody out there? I mean, I can tell you mine, and it's going to be the homerest of homer picks of all time.
You mean your inaccurate pick?
I think Spencer Rattler gets drafted in the second round.
That's inaccurate, Ryan, just like Spencer Rattler.
He's not inaccurate. Dude, I'm not. We're not. Nope. We're not doing that to me. He's not inaccurate. He was running for his life all last season.
Terrible combine.
He didn't have a terrible combine. What are you talking about?
It wasn't good. He had a good senior bowl.
He had a good senior bowl and at his pro day in Columbia. He was dropping dimes for 65-yard bombs.
So was Malik Willis.
On a dime.
So was Malik Willis. And well, they wouldn't even let him get near the field.
I think Rattler's going to wind up getting drafted in the second, maybe the third round. And he's gonna shock wherever he gets drafted. Like, imagine if, like, Minnesota trades up and they get, I don't know, let's say Minnesota gets Bo Nix. And then they draft Spencer Rattler in the third or fourth round, like Washington did a few years ago when they drafted Robert Griffin the third, and then they drafted Kirk Cousins in the same draft. Like, the Vikings could do that, even though they just signed Sam Darnold. The Vikings can do that. And so I think Spencer Rattler could beat out Bo Nix for a job. You don't?
No.
You think Bo Nix is better than Spencer Rattler?
Here's the deal. Okay. So I've told you about the equation of quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The equation of quarterbacks, there's 32 jobs out there for quarterbacks, right? We have 5 to 6 to 7 players every single year that we're talking about to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
Okay. When you break it down, you're going to have one good quarterback, one average quarterback that'll probably stay a starter for a while, and one guy that barely hangs on and kind of is trying to make a starter. You're probably going to get 3. That's the average that you're going to get at any draft, okay? If you get more than that in any draft, you're going to have to offset that with a bad draft the next year. And we could probably break this down for like the last 10 years. Like, it's easy to do. You can go down there, look at the drafts and say, okay, who succeeded, who didn't. And because of the amount of jobs that are available, you have to be at a certain level. So that's what it ends up breaking down to. So you have to pick your players in this draft to get one very good one, one average to good one, and one not so good, but still is a starter. That's all you get in out of all of these guys. So you're looking at 3 guys that are probably going to go 1, 2, 3. And you would think that one of those guys is going to be at least the hit to very good. So it would be, you know, good to very good. Right?
And you don't, hope
out of those you three. Don't so, think ra- so basically, you don't think well, that's the that point guy. Though, is that you, when you look at the averages of quarterbacks, Spencer Rattler going in the third round probably has a 0 to 0.1% chance of actually latching on and being a starter in the NFL.
They said the same thing about Russell
Wilson. It's just the law of averages.
Russell Wilson was the third round pick.
But then you go back to his draft and say who came out of his draft. And then the next year you have to, or, you know, the next few years, or even the year prior to, there might've been a bad draft. Like, there was the draft that EJ Manuel was the top draft pick in the draft, and he was terrible. Exactly. And he went 19th overall. So then the next year after that, because you've got that draft, that crazy draft with Joe Burrow, Herbert, Tua was in it. You know, that group of guys that were all in the same draft that all hit so far, right? So that breaks the drafts around them. So now who are you picking in this draft? You'd have to look. I mean, we could go back and say, okay, last year's draft kind of was crappy. There was the Kenny Pickett draft was crappy, you know, that kind of thing. And then you can find out where you're at this year. So when you say, like, I really feel good about Spencer Rattler, the odds are so stacked against that guy that it's almost like predicting Hayden Hurst is going to have 1,000-yard receiving. Maybe worse.
Sorry, God. You had to throw that one back in there.
I'm just saying. Or maybe that Derrick Henry is going to have a bad season. Maybe it's that bad. I'm not sure.
He is going to have a bad year. All right, listen. We had a really fun overtime there.
We can break that down now. We can do that. Coming into the draft, when we go to the draft, we'll break that down. I will figure that out. We'll do our mock drafts. I will give you the way that the quarterbacks work out, and we'll try to determine how many quarterbacks we're going to get out of this draft.
All right, let's do it, folks. That's been our season 6 premiere. Next week, Bill and I have some research to do because we are going to be breaking down the UFL rosters going into next week's kickoff of
the stars.
UFL season, the stars. Yep.
Yeah, we feel better about these guys than going through all the rosters like we did last year. We've seen them play, you know, in either the XFL or USFL last year. So we can give you some stats from those leagues instead.
Yep. You've got the Birmingham Stallions going to take the Arlington Renegades Saturday, March 30th at 1 o'clock on Fox. So we're excited to start covering the UFL. Listen, tell your friends, if you don't watch the UFL, you need to come listen to Tap Outs and Touchdowns, because I'm pretty sure we are going to be the only podcast, the only show covering the UFL extensively to keep you abreast of what's going on in that league and get you excited about watching spring football. But until then, reminder where you can find us on social media, facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns, on X at Tapouts and TDs, YouTube, search at Tapouts and Touchdowns, and that's where you can find us on all social media. Until then, it's been a phenomenal week. I say episode one of the
pre-season
new season. We enjoyed it. We're going to have some wrestling shows back, some tweaks with the wrestling shows. PJ Steven is going to be on, but we're going to try to do things differently so we can have live wrestling shows again. But we are still going to be sticking with wrestling. But we are going to have football shows every week going into the UFL season, into the NFL draft, and then as we go into the postseason. So for Baker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and we'll see you next time right here on Tap House and Touchdowns.